Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
We're about to wrap up this book of 2 Corinthians. This is the 15th message in this series, and there will be one more that will come here shortly. The direction that the Holy Spirit has taken us is concerning the heart of the Apostle Paul. And we have rehearsed this over and over again throughout the time, so I'm not going to belabor this. But it is interesting to me that his concern was that they were questioning his apostleship or his apostolic authority. Paul was not one that needed the accolades of men. He was a servant of the Lord. He was very assured of that. The Lord called him. He goes into great detail in other books talking about that he doesn't even judge himself. He is awaiting the judgment of the Lord, that he is walking his life out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and no man has the capability to judge him except for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I know that this was not an ego thing, but I've come to understand in the study of this book that his concern about their acceptance of his apostolic authority was for their benefit. They needed to know what you and I know today, that the Apostle Paul was an apostle. You see, if we were questioning that, we would have to start ripping out the pages of the New Testament. Because who's he to be schooling us in all of these things? We would pull out the book of Romans. We would pull out Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and what's next? Colossians and Philemon. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. Man, we wouldn't have too much left. If he was not truly an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing from the Lord, this book would be really short. As a matter of fact, most scholars believe that even the book of Acts was fed to Luke through the heart and mind of the Apostle Paul. So, starting with Acts and just start ripping out, you'd get all the way back to 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. So you'd go from the Gospels all the way to the end. How many agree we'd miss something if we didn't accept the authority of the Apostle Paul? Yeah, absolutely. So again, his apostolic authority was more for us and for the church at Corinth than it is or was for him. Now, this passage of scripture in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, my heading says, Paul's vision and his thorn. Now, we're going to talk about that, but I want to do it in a context that the Holy Spirit has dropped into my heart. And that is the blessings of God's servants. The blessings of God's servants. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I'm going to need God's help. So would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the grand privilege that you have given me of being called into the preaching of the gospel. I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would be in charge, that you would somehow convey the truth of this passage even beyond the foolishness of my preaching. May you be honored. May you be glorified. May you be exalted. And may all these folks who have come here this morning, may as they hear your word, may they hear your voice. And may it speak into their lives. I know, Master, that there is an application here for each of us. But we need your help. Guide us right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Francis Bacon, the Irish artist and early 1900 writer, wrote, "Prosperity is the blessing of the Old Testament. Adversity is the blessing of the New." Now, we get a challenge here as we begin to move into this passage. Because again, I want you to look at it with me as the blessings of God's servants. You see, sometimes we miss God's blessings because we are looking for certain things. Hello? In other words, if I am looking to get rich, and riches do not come to me, I may feel like that God never blesses me. If I'm looking for complete health and I get sick, I may feel like, well, God's not blessing me. You know how I know this? I know this from watching, and it has been my practice for years and years, on Wednesday night to give an opportunity for people to testify. And I've watched God's people sit, and I know what's going on in their minds. Well, I don't have anything to testify about. Now, I don't say that critically this morning. I just call our attention to it because it is in keeping with what I'm saying here. We miss a lot of our blessings that we have received from the Lord because we are looking for some specific things to take place. And if those specific things do not take place, we don't feel like we're blessed. We also get caught in the trap where somebody else receives this blessing and we think to ourselves, well, I haven't had that. So then I'm not blessed because I didn't receive the blessing that they received. So we miss out on many blessings because we overlook them. Look with me at verse number 1. Paul says, "I must go on boasting." Now, let's stop there because he put a period. I must go on boasting. He did not need to boast for himself. Once again, he was very assured in who he was. But he is defending his apostolic authority and all of his teaching. All the letters, all these books, he was defending them by who he is and was. "Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord." Verse 2, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Now, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that a man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses." The first thing I want you to see here this morning is the Apostle Paul is sharing with us the blessings of visions and revelations. First of all, Paul speaks of a man himself. He said, well, why did he choose to do it in that way? Because he was not trying, even though he is boasting or making them aware, which is what the word means, of what has happened in his life to bring about his apostolic authority. He's not bragging about that. He comes down there to verse number 6. He says, if I'm going to brag, I'm going to brag about my weaknesses, about my hardships, about my troubles. Back there in chapter 11, if you remember that list, he bragged, if you will, about all the horrible things that had happened to him. He could have stood up there or written down before them and said, yes, I was the one that started the church at Ephesus, which is the center of the kingdom. Yes, I was the one that started the church at Thessalonica. I was the one that started the church at Philippi. Oh, yes. And all of these different individuals that were saved and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and all of them were sent out into the work of the ministry. He could have just filled the air with all of his great masterful things that he did. But instead, he chose to tell about his hardships and his weaknesses. And even when he was out of ideas of what to do and had to be lowered down out of the city on a rope in order to escape another punishment. I know this man. He says this man was caught up into the third heaven very quickly. The first heaven is anything above the earth. The second heaven is where this moon and the stars. And the third heaven is the heaven where God dwells. He says, I was caught up into that place where God dwells. And I saw things that I cannot even tell you about. Ooh. And then he goes into this. He says, visions and revelations. That word vision in the original language means to appear, a sight, a vision. The believer or follower of Christ, all followers of Christ, have this same opportunity. The blessings of seeing a miracle. I remember as a teenager standing in a choir in a church that I grew up in. And a healing evangelist was there. And this person had a, I guess they call it goiter, on their neck. And came forward. And I don't think that this fellow even touched them. He just spoke healing over this person's life. And just like that, with my teenage eyes, I watched that go, poof, it was gone. I'm like, whoa. Huh? Have you ever witnessed a miracle? How many have seen a miracle take place? Let me tell you about another miracle that I have seen that maybe you could identify with. I saw an individual who was steeped in sin and hopelessness and helplessness and didn't want anything to do with God. And I watched them stand up at the end of a service and come down and kneel at an altar and turn their life over to Jesus. And you know what? That person changed in appearance. The hard, wrinkled, broken face that came to that altar changed miraculously by the power of God. I mean, you could see the change. Different person walked out. Why, you wouldn't even think it was a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, I ask you again, how many of you have ever seen a miracle take place? Huh? Some of you still don't lift your hands. You say, I have my eyes closed when people come to know the Lord. Huh? Oh, I want this for you. I want you to see somebody get saved. I want you to see somebody that you know who is lost and without God and is heading toward hell, an eternity of hell without God. And you speak the word of the Lord into their life and they say yes to the Lord Jesus and their life is changed. I pray that for you, that the Lord would bring that into your life, that you would stand and see before your very eyes the transformation of hopeless, helpless, lostness to an eternal life. It's glorious. The Apostle Paul was not the only one that got to see visions. You know, we go, well, I've never seen a vision. Lord's never given me a dream. Oh, church. Yes, he has. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you didn't find God. God found you. His Spirit, searching, found you and called you out from among men and gave you a revelation of who Christ is. It wasn't because of your great intellect or your great ability that you found him. It was because he searched you out and gave you a revelation of who he is. Oh, those revelations, he said. These are uncoverings, unveilings, disclosure. The word means to reveal. Things that are revealed. Every single time that the Lord reveals, opens up his word to you, you are a recipient of his revelations. Every single time that he turns that light bulb on over the top of your head that says you understand his word anew and afresh, he has just given you a fresh vision of who he is. Hallelujah, church. You see, we are a people of vision and revelation. Sometimes you are scary, you know that? The ladies that were up here last week, they said, but they're scary. Yeah. Sometimes. The blessings of visions and revelation. I ask you this morning, why are you here instead of somebody else? Why are you sitting in this place, in this seat, hearing this message, instead of someone else? I mean, there are literally thousands, even millions of people who are not in the house of the Lord this morning. They're not exposed at all to the things of God. Why you instead of them? You understand what I'm saying? You and I need to recognize, I am blessed. We are blessed. God has revealed, the God of the universe has revealed himself to us. Oh my goodness, a fresh revelation of who he is. That he, the Son of God, came into this world as a virgin, from a virgin birth, and grew up and gave himself upon a cross for me. Oh my goodness, I am blessed, I am blessed. You know, again, see, we want to look at the things that we don't have or that somebody else has as being the real blessings that come down to people. Well, if I would get what they have, then I would be blessed. Well, if I could see blind eyes open before me, I would be blessed. Well, all you need to do is start telling people about Jesus and you will see the blind eyes open to the glory and the presence of the Lord. Vision will come before you, right there before you. It's not exclusive to the Apostle Paul or to someone who is called to be a pastor. It's to every believer. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons and daughters of God. goodness. Now, you all don't know my dad. He died long before I ever came here. But see, I'm his son. Even though he's passed from this earth, he's still my father. And everything that that meant, all the hard work that he did and all the love that he gave and all the attention, everything, every bit of it, that's mine because I belong to him. The fact that you and I, look, listen, what does Hebrews 11, 6 say? Huh? Anybody? Hebrews 11, 6. Come on, let's have audience participation. As they thumb through their Bibles. I can kind of hear that. You must believe that he exists. And that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's really the beginning. My Bible says a fool says in his heart there is no God, and I've watched this played out. You must believe that he exists and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you and I catch a fresh vision, a fresh revelation of who God is, the possibilities are limitless and eternal. Young folks, those of you that just graduated, don't you let go of the most important piece of information that you have ever come by. And that is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came into this world to die for sinners, of which every one of us have that claim. And if we will receive him, we become children of God. And we are blessed. How many of you are blessed this morning? Glory to God. Do we realize, church, that every portion of understanding that we have from God is an additional revelation of truth that he's poured into our lives? Praise his name. Now, that's the easy one, because it's going to get a little more difficult from here. If you pick up at verse number six. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. He's saying, I'm not bragging. I'm identifying. Verse number seven. To keep me from becoming conceited because of those or these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. We are blessed this morning to be the recipients of visions and revelations from the Lord. But we are also blessed this morning by thorns. Often, we have the wrong concept of a thorn. Let me begin by telling you what it's not. It's not about God being mad at us. If you have a thorn in your life, it's not because God's mad at you. It's not a curse. And it's not permanent. Let me tell you what it is. It's beneficial. It's necessary. And it's a blessing. Quiet in here now. It's hard to say amen. It's hard to say hallelujah over a thorn, isn't it? Paul tells us about his thorn. He says, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. This thorn is something pointed, sharp, something which causes severe pain or constant irritation. Paul's thorn, more than likely, was something to do with his flesh. In another of his books, he references that he says, you would have given me your eyes if you could have. To the Galatians, he spoke of an illness that kept him from coming to them. We don't know exactly what his thorn was, and I believe that's on purpose. Because if it was identified specifically, then you and I and the church at Corinth would have difficulty identifying. On the other hand, if we speak of it as something sharp, something that pricks, something that irritates, something that causes us pain, all of a sudden we have a higher level of identification. Paul states the purpose that it was given to him. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. I've watched, and I'm sure you have as well, as individuals who have been given much by the Lord, many blessings, many opportunities, perhaps fame, and watch that turn those blessings upon themselves to the detriment of their ministry. Whether it be when financial gains started coming, they heaped it upon themselves until they had an inordinate amount of riches, and it diminished the effectiveness of their ministry because they were sitting on such a large heap of money and things. Others who lost the love out of their speaking, that every word that they spoke was absolute and gold that everybody should listen to, because they, in their arrogance, thought that they were the ones who had brought their blessings. You know, it's interesting. I was reading just recently Samuel talking to Saul. Saul had lost his way. He became king of all of Israel. Was given opportunities. Men followed him. He had men and women that were around him, and all kinds of opportunities that were afforded him because he became king, the first king of all of Israel. He went into battle and God gave him victory in the battle. He came out of the battle and built a tower, a monument to himself. And Samuel came to him and said, you need to realize something. He said, arrogance is the sin of idolatry, and it's not tolerated by God. God is concerned about our conceit. And we must be very, very careful as we become aware of the revelations and the visions and the things that God has done and the things that God has revealed to us and the things that we are learning in the Lord. We must be very, very careful as we receive those things to understand that He is giving us those revelations to give away, not to puff us up. Look at me, listen to me, because I have this revelation from the Lord. positions that we are given. We have no room for conceit or to be lifted up. Everything we have, church, comes from the Lord. Including the next breath, which we have no right to. Makes you want to take another one, doesn't it? Just to make sure it's still there. What if we were to get ourselves into the mode of understanding the blessings of the next breath? Thank you, Lord. 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 I'm breathing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Huh? Watch a person with emphysema or damaged lungs like our dear sister. I guarantee you they appreciate the next breath. Huh? Is that what it takes? Does it take the thorn of helplessness in our breathing before we realize the value of the breath that God gives to us? You understand that the point that I'm making. See, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. The strength that we have to rise up in the morning and go do another day's work or to meet life for another day, it's come from the Lord. We should be grateful. We should be thankful. There's no room for us to puff ourselves up and throw our chest out and say, look at me. Look what I have done. Look what I've accomplished. The man was so proud of himself, stood in the presence of Jesus, so proud of himself and all of his accomplishments and the great wealth that he had. He said, I've made so much, I've got to tear down some barns and build bigger ones. Jesus said to his disciples, he doesn't realize this night his soul will be required of him. Then who gets all that stuff that he's accumulated? You see, there's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with having talent. There's nothing wrong with gaining knowledge. But let me tell you, we must be humbled by those things, not exalted and conceited. How do I know that? I know that because of the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Paul said, I have been chosen to see incredible things in the Lord. And because of that, the Lord blessed me with a thorn so that I would not be conceited. Could have been. Now, I've seen things you haven't seen. I know things you do not know. That doesn't bring glory to the Lord. I've seen so many great things that I can't even tell you about. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Huh? Who brought the thorn? A messenger of Satan. The word messenger there in other places is the word angel. An angel of Satan or one of Satan's own brought this struggle to the Apostle Paul. Why did Satan bring the thorn? He gives it right here. To torment me. Now see, this goes right in there with the first chapter of James. When James says, count it all joy when you enter into many trials. And all the people said, I don't think so. I want you to notice here in this passage that Paul does not say, count it all joy when you have a thorn in your flesh. Or a thorn in your life. But rather, he gives to us some grand wisdom. It's a blessing. I may never understand why this thorn was necessary. Paul came to the understanding that it was because he would be conceited. Huh? Now hold on a second. Just think about that for a second. We don't know exactly what this is, but whatever it was pretty troubling to Paul. To have that thing with the recognition that he had to have that buffeting by Satan in order to not be conceited. You would truly go, oh, I'm bringing this on myself. Come on, isn't that true? If I did not have the propensity, the ability, the awareness, the design, whatever, to be puffed up, Satan would not have had this opportunity in my life. He opened the door by the way he handled the things that God gave to him. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God for the thorns that God uses to keep us in the path that we need to stay. I know that's not an easy one. Thomas Jefferson said, "How little do my countrymen know what precious blessings they are in possession of, which no other people on earth enjoy." And Abraham Lincoln follows with saying, "We have forgotten the gracious hand which has preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." Hear me this morning. If God has shown you things, if he has given you a revelation of any area in your life, oh, hear me. Bless him. Praise him. Thank him. Lest a thorn be introduced into your life to bring you back down to the reality that every single piece of revelation comes from the Lord. Now, this is specifically for the servants of the Lord. Okay? Sometimes I have to preach things that go to particular groups. Jesus did that. Sometimes he preached to a multitude. Sometimes he preached to the disciples. Other times he spoke to Peter, James, and John. Sometimes it's necessary. This goes out this morning to those who are truly servants of the Lord. If you are not serving the Lord, if you are not doing anything for the Lord, if you are just sitting and soaking and waiting for Jesus to come back or waiting for the blessings to pour down upon you, then this does not apply. But if you are serving the Lord, if you are reaching out for him and he's showing and revealing things to you, if by his Spirit he is leading and guiding you and you can see his hand working in your life, praise him, thank him, glorify him. Let every breath that you breathe bring honor and glory to him. Because if not, a thorn could very well be introduced. Yes, it's a blessing because it's the thing that keeps us on track. I've told you about a dear man in my congregation in Bedford, Madison. There we go. Too many years, too many places. In Madison, who contracted cancer of the spine. They brought him in on a hospital bed and we prayed for him and God healed him. Stood him up. Miraculous healing. He came in on the bed. He walked out. He was blown away. And for about 5 or 6 Sundays, I should say weeks, he was here for every service. He was at church for every service. And then he got confident in his strength. He had a construction company and ran dozers and all this kind of stuff. He built a Nashville Alps, if you remember that little ski resort thing. And he was in the midst of building that. And he was so pleased with how strong he became, just almost instantaneous from being in that hospital bed and being rolled into the church. And God healed him and he's up strong and vibrant and able. Went back to work. That was good. Then 6 days and 7 days. didn't see him anymore in church. Until about 4 months later, he started having pain in his back. Went to the doctor, had an MRI, and it was in a different place, and it was aggressive. And so they took out about 4.5-5 inches of his spine, and he was in the bed. Now, this is what he told me. He said, Pastor, he said, I realize the only way that I can walk with God is if I'm in this bed. I said to him, I said, I'm choking. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, when I'm strong, he said, I just go right back out at it. And he said, the only way I can serve God is if I'm right here in this bed. He lived on for 2 years. I visited him weekly in his home, in that bed. For a while, he had to be in a bed that was like a round circle, and it turned him upside down every so many minutes and all of that. And then they gave up on that. And every single time I went to see him, you know, I'd say, Mousy, they called him Mousy. I said, Mousy, I'm sorry you're having to be into this. It's not me, Pastor. He said, I have to be right here. But he said, I love God. He said, I'm going to go see him one of these days. Now, that may be way beyond your ability to understand or to think. But you see, my God is more concerned about your eternal life than he is about your 80 years, 70 years, whatever you may be granted. And he will do what is necessary to keep those who belong to him on that path. Seeing the thorns that come into our life as blessings, those sometimes long-term illnesses, sometimes struggles of different kinds, it's hard. Instead of chafing against it, just keep walking with the Lord. The third blessing that I want you to see this morning, the first one is visions and revelations. The second is the blessings of a thorn. The third blessing is the blessing of seeking the Lord's deliverance. Never stop praying over your thorn until the Lord gives you a revelation, as he gave Paul. Keep bringing it to him. Keep having other people pray. Get your name on the prayer list. Have everybody pray. Because sometimes the Lord will take the thing away. I've seen miracles. I've watched the Lord do miraculous things. Incredibly miraculous things. Praise his name. Because sometimes he wants to reveal himself through a miracle in that way. But understand this. You see, everybody's going to die of something. Lazarus came forth from the roof, from that tomb at the command of Jesus. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, and they had to take the garments off of him. But Lazarus died again. And the next time they didn't take him out. You hear me? Every person that Jesus healed died of something. They're not still around today. So why was the healing? The healing was for the glory of the Lord. One day Jesus healed a man who had been blind from birth. And they said, what did this man do? Or what did his family do that caused this thing? Jesus said, none of that. It was for the glory of the Lord to be revealed on this day. Let me tell you something, church. We've got a lot to learn about what is the reality and the glory of God and his worth to be praised and honored. We get our little blessings and we get our little bit of knowledge and we get all puffed up. We have no reason to be arrogant because everything we have has come from the Lord. If you have a thorn in your life, a long-term illness, a financial situation that has come in and it's irritating, it's painful, it's a struggle, then look deeply into your life. Don't stop from doing the will and the purposes of God. If you don't know what they are, then get on your face before God and say, God, what is it you're wanting me to accomplish? What is it you're wanting me to do? Let me be about your business, because you're keeping me here. You're keeping me alive. You're keeping me moving for some reason. Even though I'm hurting, even though I'm struggling, I am going to keep moving for you, because to you belongs the glory and the honor and the praise. Keep praying. What did Paul say? 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. You know, we go, he only prayed 3 times. No, he says he pleaded with the Lord. He was on his face. He was there for hours. He was there for days. He was fasting. He was seeking God, lest there be something in his life that he needed to get out of the way in order for his healing to come. But it was bigger than that in his life. He was going to walk this journey with this difficulty. As I said before, many believe that it was a condition of his eyes. Maybe even a residual from the Acts chapter 9 conversion. If you remember, he was blinded at that point in time. So it very well may have been a condition that continued on from that place. We don't know. I want you to know that the Lord is aware of your thorn. Pray about it. Seek the Lord. And maybe, just maybe, you will hear what Paul heard. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Let me give you the actual translation from the original language of the Bible. Enough for you is the grace of me. The power of me in weakness is perfected. Let me say it one more time. Enough for you is the grace of me. If you and I receive nothing else, the fact that we have received the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is sufficient. If the Lord never heals us, if the Lord never gives us another blessing, if he never does another thing for us, sufficient is the blessing that we have received from the Lord to have his grace extended to our lives, because that's what brings us eternity. But he says, the power of me in weakness is perfected. We want to say, Lord, if you'll pull this thorn, if you'll get it out of my life, oh, I could do so much more for you. And what he is saying back to us is, no, my friend, you will do the most for me in your weakness, because then I will receive the glory. I'm not pointing to others who have thorns. I'm pointing to myself. I have walked the last 25 years with thorn in my flesh. And I had some great prayers praying for me that I would be delivered from it. But the Lord has shown me my greatest strength is my weakness. The understanding that without the Lord, I can do nothing. But with the Lord, I can do all things. You know, some folks, they love that passage. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They just forget the last part. I can do all things. No, you can't. Don't have to deal with a thorn in order to understand that. Praise you, God. Praise you for the thorn. Whether in weakness or in healing, I will serve you. My mind goes to Job. Remember Job? Yet though he slay me, I'll still trust him. I believe some may be waiting for everything to turn out perfect in their life. Let me look for wholeness, and then, Lord, then I will serve you. I always have to chuckle when men and women come to me and say, you know, Pastor, I'm about ready to retire. And when I retire, boy, I'm really going to dedicate myself to the Lord. And I try not to let it show. But when they walk away, I chuckle because I've heard that so many times. Most of the time when people retire and move away from their hourly job, they do not do any more for the kingdom than they did when they were working full time. Yeah. Father, we thank you this morning for the revelations, for the visions that you send our way to help us to understand who you are, to learn about you. We thank you for your word that is a light, a lamp to show us the way. Thank you for all the sermons that we've heard, all the times that you have spoken to us through your word. Thank you for the revelation, for the vision. But also, Lord, thank you for loving us enough and caring enough about us that you would allow thorns, those painful irritations, struggles that keep us on track. Help us, O Lord, to not lose out on the blessing that comes as we stay before you praying that the thorn would be removed. But may we also realize that your grace is sufficient. What you have done for us already is really more than enough. And in our weakness, your strength is perfected. So help us to keep serving in whatever capacity we can find. But Lord, help us to keep serving so that everything that we do brings glory and honor and praise to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this revelation this morning. Church, I want to invite you to the table of the Lord. And as I do, if you have your offerings, you can bring them along and place them here. Take the elements, hold them until everyone's been served. But I want to remind you of something. They put a crown of thorns on Jesus' head in place of a crown of gold. He wore the thorns. You know who put it there, right? A messenger of Satan got into those men, those soldiers, caused one of them to come up with the idea of taking a thorn bush, tearing out a stretch of it, making a circle out of it. Don't you know that the enemy had great joy when he shoved that thing down on top of the head of the Son of God and it pierced his skull? And the blood began to flow, and the pain and the agony. See, Jesus knows all about thorns. You're not alone this morning. Whatever your thorn may be, Don't give up. Keep seeking God's deliverance from it until the day that he shows you its purpose in your life. And then you know what? We don't know how much longer Paul had to deal with this. Maybe the rest of his life. It didn't matter anymore. When the Lord gave him the reason, that's all he needed. The Lord will be, he'll speak into your heart and life too. Sometimes, you know, what you have may not be a thorn to keep for a lifetime. It may be something that's just for a season in your life. Get to praying. Get to believing. Seek the Lord. Listen for his voice. But don't despise it. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He said, well, Pastor, I'm not sure I can call the thorn a benefit. Trust me. If your Lord allowed it into your life, if he allowed the enemy to bring it into your life, he has purpose. He's refining us, making us like gold. Amen.